Matthew 25. I'll read a few verses to you and do our best not to be too lengthy this morning, but just a few simple thoughts that God has given me from His Word. Next Sunday morning, there will be something very special during the worship service. You'll want to be here. You won't want to miss that. Of course, there's something special every time we meet here at Rubyville. God has blessed us. Matthew chapter 25, the words of Christ, beginning with verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch this last phrase now. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Well, I'm going to break down just a few things that God has touched my heart with about these verses of Scripture. Many of you have read them over and over again. For some reason, not only here, but in many other passages, in Revelation, also in John chapter 14, where he talks about going away to prepare a place, that particular passage, this passage, the passage in Revelation, where the bride had made herself ready, all of that is tied together to the Jewish custom of a wedding. God, for some reason, has chosen to illustrate the truth that we need to understand from His Word of the love relationship that we have with Christ. And I've been preaching a lot about that as the church, as the bride, and He is the bridegroom. And He says a lot of the customs that surrounded a Jewish wedding. Jewish weddings were so much different, the custom of them. There was a lot of difference between their wedding ceremony and the ceremonies that we have today. Some things are similar, but the customs that they had was very different. And He's chosen that, and we see it explained here in these few verses that I read to you. Let me give you just a few of the customs this morning that tie to the fact that there's going to be a wedding coming. But even though there's a wedding coming, we are already espoused to the groom when we become a part of the church of the living God. God chose this because the wedding itself was initiated by the groom. The groom took it upon himself to leave his father's house and to go to the father of the bride, and there he would meet with him and took it all on himself to go and find the prospective bride. I think that we could stop right there and say, thank God Jesus left the Father's house. And He took it all on Himself. It was all His idea. It wasn't our idea. He took every bit of it on Himself to come to where we are to negotiate for a bride. And when He met with the Father, He negotiated with the Father about the price that needed to be paid to obtain the bride. When Jesus came to this world, there was a negotiation that took place. And on Calvary's hill, when He stretched out His arms between the heavens and earth and hung on an old rugged cross, He paid the price to buy a bride. He purchased the bride with His own blood. He said, I am willing to pay the price so that I can have a bride. Once that took place, from that moment forward, the bride exclusively belonged to the groom. She was then betrothed to the groom. And when they were betrothed, they settled it all by coming together with a drink from a cup. They both drank out of that cup, and as they drank out of that cup, there was a benediction of betrothal upon them. In other words, he was saying, even though the wedding day has not come yet, you are already mine. You are my bride. You are a spouse to me. You are faithful to me. You are committed to me. And he said, you're mine even though the wedding day has not taken place yet. I feel preaching coming on. May I remind you, we are not going to be his. We are his already. We are his and he is ours. And the day that we accept Christ as our Savior, we understand the price that he paid. And when we come and drink of that cup, what cup? The cup that symbolizes his blood. When we partake of his blood, we become part of the bride. And now we belong to him. He's concerned with our affairs. He watches over us. He takes care of us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We are his. And we can come to him saying, he will fulfill everything that he promised us in his word. And it will come to pass just the way that he said it. Then, after the proposal, comes the parting. He leaves. He goes away. Now when he goes away, they start preparing for the wedding. Both parties are responsible to prepare. He goes to prepare a place. The living accommodation. The place where they will live together their remaining days as husband and wife. Well, glory to God. He's been gone 2,000 years now. He's been working on it. He gave us the promise in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. Thank God he has a place for his children. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up yonder somewhere beyond the blue. God has a place for our soul in a beautiful place that he has gone to prepare with his own hands. He spent the majority of his life here on this earth before that he started his ministry at the age of 30. He worked in a carpenter shop. Wouldn't it have been something to sit at a table that Jesus built with his own hands? Wouldn't it have been something to sit in a chair that he had made himself? Wouldn't it have been something to live in a house that he had helped build? I don't know what that would have been like when he was here the first time, but I'm going to find out one day. I'm going to sit down at a table. Well, glory to God that he's built with his own hands and says, I'm going to prepare the banquet hall for those that will fall in love with me. I'm going to prepare a place for them. That's the promise of his word. He went to prepare a place for the living accommodation. She, on the other hand, had the responsibility to prepare two things. She wasn't to prepare a place. She was to prepare herself. The person. She spent time to make sure that she was pure, ready, prepared for the groom when the groom came to get her. He went away, but he left her with a promise, I'm coming again. As soon as I get the house built, as soon as the last nail is driven, as soon as the last thing is completed, I'll come back to get you. So while you're waiting, you prepare yourself. You don't know when I'm coming. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour. That's what this scripture teaches us. He's coming. They had no idea for sure when the groom would come, but she knew she had that betrothal promise that he was coming for her. So she spent her time preparing herself. Hey, can I give you a word of advice? Get ready for heaven. Somebody said, why do you go to church so much? I'm practicing for heaven. Why do you carry on like that and praise God? I'm getting ready for heaven. Now, he saved me when I gave my life to him, but I still have to get some things in order before he comes. Not only did she prepare herself, but she prepared it herself, which was her belongings, her dress, her housewares, her linens. She prepared everything to start housekeeping when he came. She got the dress ready. Perfect. without spot, without wrinkle. She wanted it to be, it wanted it to be the grandest of all. When he called, she didn't know when he was coming. So many people today think that God's going to give them an advance notice. They think in that hour, then I'll get everything prepared. No, you better start preparing things now. He said he was coming. It's been 2,000 years. They thought he was coming in the New Testament in their lifetime, if you read it closely. How much more should we be looking for his coming? She prepared herself. She prepared everything that was needed. She had it all in place until when they came together, she had everything that was needed for the trip. She had it. But she still didn't know when he was coming. When the groom would return for the bride, usually it was at nighttime. He would return accompanied by a band of people with him, and they would all hold torches or lights, come in the darkness. They didn't know when he was coming. That's what happened here. Came in an hour that they thought not. But they would come with a light, with a bright light. And in turn, for the bride to be able to go meet him, they had to have a light to join him. But the first thing he would do is send out before himself. He would send out the company to a point where they would stop, and then he would shout with a loud voice. Now, why would he shout? He would shout for one reason. Get your stuff together. We're going home. Gave her time to get the dress, to get the belongings. He came with a shout, and she knew the next thing was he would come to snatch her away, take her back to where he had gone to build this beautiful place. By the time they arrived back to Father's house, at that time all of the guests would be gathered together and they would have a marriage feast. And then during that time of that marriage feast, they would be led away to that place where that she would be in seclusion with her groom in the bridal chamber, where they would be together in consummation of the wedding that they had promised and that had already been espoused long beforehand. The amazing part of all of that was, after that, the bride remained hidden for 7 days. For 7 days, nobody saw her. For 7 days, nobody heard from her. For 7 days, they wondered, where's the bride at? But at the end of 7 days, the groom would come out, and he would make a presentation of the bride to all of the bridal party and all of the guests. But when she came out, that time, her veil was removed. There was no veil any longer, and they could see her in all of her beauty, where her beauty had been hidden to them before. Oh, I feel preaching coming on. There's coming a time when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we which have the light in us, will rise to meet him in the air. You know where we're going? We're going back to Father's house. For 7 years, this world will wonder, where's the church? Where's the church at? 7 years of tribulation on this earth, but the bride will be hidden from all of it. Oh, bless his name. He's taking us to a place that we're separated from all the sin and all the curse and all the wrath of God. And then finally the day comes when the Lord himself will put his foot on the Mount of Olives. And when he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, the world shall see the bride and he'll present the bride. But the veil will be removed. The things now that we cannot see through clearly will understand just fine when the wedding takes place. He's coming again and we'll present his bride. What an hour. What a day. I got to thinking about this. I'm blessed to see a lot of people saved, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Stay in church enough, you get to see folks saved. And I started thinking about what really happens when people come to an altar. And this morning it just crossed my mind. It was about 1 this morning. I was praying and studying for this service. I had planned to preach on something else, but God just burnt this into my heart today. And I thought, do you know why people come to an altar? Do you know why they kneel? Now, you don't have to kneel to be saved. I realize God can save you laying in the bed. God can save you standing up. He can save you sitting at the wheel of your car. But the vast majority of people come to an altar and they kneel. Do you know why? Because it's a meeting place with God. The altar doesn't save anyone. It's a meeting place with God. I get a lot of ridicule because we give invitations. You know, the vast majority of churches across this country, churches this size, they're bigger than this, a lot of them, because they don't give an invitation. People don't like to confront what's going on, and they take it the wrong way. They don't understand what the invitation is. Now, when I proposed to Candy, she made me get down on one knee. And I proposed to her. How many of you have seen that custom? Yeah. So what happens is when you come to this altar, Jesus is already here. He bowed down. He humbled himself to make a proposal to you. And today he's at these altars bowed down and he's saying to you that will come and respond to it. And taking by the hand, he's saying something like this. I, Jesus, take thee, sinner, to be my wedded wife. I do promise and covenant before the Heavenly Father to love and cherish you all the days of my life. I'll be with you in sickness and in health, in the good times and in the bad. Will you take me to be your groom? And here at this altar, what we're saying to him is, I take thee, Jesus, to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forth, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, in the good that may brighten my days and in the dark times that overshadow my ways. Lord Jesus, I say to you, I do. It is a proposal. It is a proposal that goes out that we don't have to be ashamed of. But instead we can say to you today, Jesus is here waiting for you, watching for you, longing for you. You say, well, he's not here in body. Oh, he paid the price. He went away. He's preparing a place. But he's coming with a shout. And he's coming to take us home. Isn't it something? The Holy Spirit comes to you today and says, will you follow me? I'll take you to Jesus. So you follow a man you've never met, to one day marry a man whom you've never seen, to live in a land where you've never been. But the promise of God's word is that he has made the proposal for every one of us, that whosoever will, let them come.